This is Ted Kennedy. Will Congress override the veto of the trade bill? In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, President Reagan obviously had second thoughts about vetoing the trade bill. He allowed himself to be blindsided by business special interests and the right wing. He foolishly agreed to kill a 1,000-page bill because of one provision requiring notice to workers before factories are closed. The president delayed the veto for a week, while the White House scrambled to hide its real objection behind a smokescreen of other reasons. Without the notice provision, President Reagan would have signed the bill. That's what the veto fight's all about. Workers deserve fair notice before plants are closed, so they can find new jobs and hold their lives and families together. In the Reagan years, 40,000 plants have closed and 10 million workers have lost their jobs from plant closings and layoffs. The country understands the issue, Al, even if the White House doesn't. It's an anti-worker veto, and it deserves to be overridden.
Ted, thanks to you and your left-wing cronies, President Reagan has every good cause to veto the so-called trade bill. House Democrats saw the writing on the wall. They clumsily misused the power of the majority, as they love to do over there, for more than a week in a crude attempt to change the final package. 2 weeks after the bill had been passed by both the House and the Senate, it languished right there on Jim Wright's desk. They played partisan hardball, ended up looking like boobs with a bill they know that won't become law, and American workers and businesses suffer. The bill creates 30 brand new bureaucracies, 100 metric tons of new pork projects, and 160 new government jobs. If your plant closing provision is that important, why not offer it as an independent piece of legislation? This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on welfare reform. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. Can Ted Kennedy really bring himself to finally realize that we need a bipartisan overhaul of a bloated welfare system? We'll face off in a moment. Ted, we desperately need a bipartisan approach to welfare reform. But your liberal pals in Congress are trying mightily to steamroll a bill through Congress that creates $3.3 billion in new spending. That bill spends a ton of money on more dead-end welfare than it does on actually putting people back to work. We need to go to a new system that will encourage able-bodied persons to contribute to their own support. But one provision of your bill would require an individual to accept a job only if it pays greater than their welfare benefits. Republicans and sensible Democrats in the Congress have offered some important alternatives, Ted. They offer a real opportunity for the poor, not just pandering, piecemeal programs and government checks.
How very Republican of you, Al. You've been so busy scheming to knock people off the welfare rolls that you've forgotten the goal, to get them onto the payrolls. The Republican alternative called workfare is badly named, Al. It's make work, and it isn't fair. It forces welfare recipients into endless dead-end jobs with no training, no education, no future, and no hope. If we're serious about reform, Al, let's raise the minimum wage so that full-time workers don't have to spend a lifetime in poverty. Let's provide job training, child care, and medical care so that people able to work can work without neglecting their children or their health. Steps like these can revolutionize the non-system of welfare we have today and save billions of dollars in welfare spending every year. There's all the difference in the world between the positive, progressive approach that Democrats are proposing and the negative, punitive Republican scheme. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on capital punishment. Tune in Monday on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. The death penalty is cruel and unusual punishment, and it ought to be outlawed. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, just once, I'd like to hear you come up with a sensible rationale for capital punishment instead of spouting right-wing feel-good arguments and pretending you're doing something about drugs and law and order. There isn't a shred of evidence that capital punishment has any deterrent effect on crime. It's wrong as a matter of principle and wrong as a matter of law enforcement. No government that calls itself civilized should be in the barbaric business of putting people to death, Al. We can't avoid the possibility that mistakes will be made and that innocent persons will be put to death. We can't eliminate the likelihood that race, poverty, and other prejudices will play an unacceptable role in determining who shall live and who shall die. Capital punishment is no answer to drug crimes or any other crimes. Stand up for what's right, Al, not for what's far right.
Sure, the Constitution clearly bans cruel and unusual punishment. Yet our forefathers clearly saw circumstances that would demand this awesome human penalty. It is provided for right there in that remarkable document. Where you and I really part company, Ted, is that I think of the victims while you think of the criminals. Capital punishment has to be limited to specific felonies and should be available only by the clear action of a jury that has heard the full case. We're all aware that indeed this is the ultimate penalty, Ted. It does deter crime. The murderer or rapist doesn't do it again. Those who exact horrible crimes upon innocent persons are a threat to our society, and they should get the death penalty. Your arguments are based on liberal legerdemain, Ted, but not on the Constitution. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on the need to privacy at the library and at the video rental store. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. I think my pal Ted Kennedy ought to be able to check out a movie at his favorite video store without the whole world knowing about it. We'll face off in a moment. Ted, I strongly support legislation that preserves our personal privacy with respect to rental, purchase, or delivery of videotapes and library materials. You ought to hop on board on that one, Ted. After all, you're the one who continually trumpeted the case for a constitutional right to privacy during the Bork hearings. After reviewing your legislative record, I know you must be big on science fiction and comedy flicks. But really, if you want to check out Hellcats of the Navy for viewing in your own home, that's your business. And Ron needn't even know. But truly, Ted, this bill gives us a chance to protect public and private persons from unreasonable and senseless intrusions into parts of their own personal lives. This bill is fair and long overdue.
Al, it's a worthwhile idea, but your heart's not really in it. Four senators took the lead on that privacy legislation, but the day it was officially presented, old Al Simpson was a no-show. The three other senators were there, but you didn't bother to show up to support it. The threat to privacy is a serious problem in our computer society, Al. More and more, personal information about individuals is easily stored and too easily retrieved. The issue erupted at the Bork hearings last fall, when a journalist obtained Judge Bork's movie rentals at a video store and published the list. It sounded like a minor incident, Al, but it had major implications for the right to privacy. Iowa and Maryland have already responded with laws banning disclosures of video rentals, and so should Congress. What I don't understand, Al, is why you were AWOL when the bill's Senate sponsors needed you the most. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on White House distortions of the U.S. record at the U.N. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. A biased White House report is misstating the successful record of the United States at the United Nations. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, the White House has just submitted a deceptive report to Congress, purporting to show that other countries at the United Nations vote with the United States only 18% of the time. Hogwash, Al. It's a dishonest report that ought to be labeled How to Lie with Statistics. It lumps all UN votes together, although some votes are obviously more important than others. And key UN actions are often taken by consensus, without votes, an area where the United States has had an impressive success in recent years. Conservatives are upset by the report too, Al. It's been sharply criticized by President Reagan's current and former ambassadors to the UN, Vernon Walters and Jean Kirkpatrick. The White House ought to be ashamed to put its stamp of approval on a half-truth document like that. Tell them to yank the report, Al, and cut out the UN bashing.
You Democrats always dazzle me, Ted. Just because a government report disagrees with your viewpoints, you order it withdrawn. Now we have this thoughtful report on the way the United Nations votes. You don't like the figures, so you want to cover it up. Whatever happened to the free exchange of ideas? A good liberal concept only when it matches your own prejudices, eh, Ted? This report was required by those of us in the Congress. It does far more than just tell us how often one country votes with us or against us at the UN. The law requires that the administration consider this voting percentage, among other factors, when determining how much foreign assistance to render to these dandy countries that ram it to us with great glee at every turn. The way they go about it all may not be perfect for you, Ted, but you're the only one practicing distractions and distortion. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off again tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. Over 1.7 million people have now applied for amnesty, an extraordinary act of grace consistent with our heritage. They now have to meet some other basic requirements to be sure they keep that prized new legal status. Ted Kennedy and I will face off in a moment. Ted, the 1986 immigration bill offered an extraordinary legal status for over 1 million illegal aliens. If they are to remain legal, they must now know or learn minimal English and have a basic idea of our American government. A common language and a core public culture are the glue that holds our amazing American pluralistic society together. We sure hope that you might join me, Ted, in encouraging all of those souped-up liberal activist groups to stop spending all their money suing the Immigration Service for every known and unknown grievance and start spending it on English classes for those fine new Americans in our midst.
Al, it may come as a surprise to you, but immigrants really do want to learn English. The waiting lists for English classes are already too long, and they're getting longer. The problem, Al, is that you're pandering to the know-nothings who want to force English only on everyone. They think there should be an 11th commandment: thou shalt not speak anything but English. That's bigotry and nonsense, Al. It insults the American melting pot and tells immigrants that their mother tongues don't count. English instruction needs to be widely available, Al, but our immigrant heritage is important too, and it deserves to be preserved. The English and civics courses under the amnesty program have to be administered in the proper spirit, to include people rather than exclude them. The performance of our immigration commissioner hasn't exactly helped, Al. At a recent press conference, he couldn't answer some of the questions on his own civics exam. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on new legislation banning lie detector tests. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. New protections will soon be available for workers against irresponsible use of lie detectors by employers. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, a quiet earthquake has been taking place right under your right-wing nose on Capitol Hill. Your anti-worker front is cracking. Protections are about to be enacted against promiscuous use of lie detectors to intimidate workers and job applicants. A bill about to reach President Reagan's desk will ban these irresponsible tests. Lie detectors could only be used in specific investigations where a worker is already under suspicion. The only other exceptions are for security guards and drug industry employees. Lie detector tests are notoriously inaccurate, but millions of them are administered anyway by business every year. 85% of the tests will be banned by the bill. The only hitch is whether President Reagan will sign it. I hope he's not listening to the same anti-worker astrologers, Al, who told him to veto the plant closing bill.
I checked your horoscope, Ted. It shows your most consistent trait. Right is wrong and left is right. Pretty confusing. Get those facts straight, Ted. I voted for that polygraph bill that we passed in the Senate. After all, it was a true compromise measure. Employers have some very legitimate interest in protecting not only their businesses, but their employees and their customers from theft and dishonest practices. The bill does permit the use of polygraph examinations in those instances where economic damage has occurred. They sometimes use those tests to keep from getting ripped off bad. An honest vote in favor of employers doesn't have to always be seen by you as a vote against workers, Ted. Those old unions really jerk your chain, and after all of your years in the Senate, I'd have thought you might have caught on. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off again Monday on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. The wheels of justice are grinding to a halt because of some gleeful partisan Democrats in the Senate. Ted Kennedy and I will face off in a moment. Well, Ted, it's so apparent now that Senate Democrats are quite intent on playing raw partisan hardball with judicial nominations. The only loser here is the American public. The cases stack up across America. 26 nominations for federal judgeships are being stalled by Democrats in the Senate. The good people of California have waited for over a year for two nominations to clear the Senate. In Michigan, North Carolina, and Louisiana, folks there have waited more than 10 months for a judge. The backlog of cases in these districts is a disgrace. Two nominees withdrew as a result of Judiciary Committee delay. They lost their law practice, their patience, and their shirts. Come on, Ted. Set these fine judicial hostages free. You liberals talk a good game about justice. Let's see it.
Al, those judicial nominees are hostages, all right, to their own dismal records and qualifications. The Louisiana nominee you mentioned withdrew his name, Al, one step ahead of an FBI investigation of allegations of criminal wrongdoing. And the California nominee you mentioned makes Bork look positively liberal, Al. There's no way he's going to be approved. It took President Reagan three tries even to fill a Supreme Court vacancy. Bork didn't make it, and Doug Ginsburg didn't make it either. He flunked the administration's own zero-tolerance test for drugs. But Anthony Kennedy did make it because he was a well-qualified nominee. Leaving Ed Meese in charge of judicial selection isn't helping matters, Al. His penchant for picking turkeys to be federal judges is not exactly winning rave reviews, even in Republican quarters in the Senate. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on banning new kinds of nuclear weapons. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. A bipartisan coalition wants to ban flight tests on a dangerous new breed of nuclear missiles. Will Senator Al Simpson go along? In a moment, we'll face off. Al, an important initiative on nuclear arms control has been proposed, and it's already been approved by the House of Representatives. The idea is to ban flight tests on low-trajectory missiles. If the Soviets don't test them, we won't either, and a new escalation of the arms race will be avoided. Right now, Al, all our missiles are high trajectory. They travel in high arcs, like high fly balls. Low trajectory missiles are like line drives. They take less time to reach their targets. That means less time to detect a Soviet nuclear attack, Al, and more danger that our missiles and bombers will be destroyed in a first strike, leaving us no chance to retaliate. Fortunately, Al, neither side is pushing the development of these destabilizing missiles so far. Let's ban them now, while we still have time.
You're off on your timing, Ted. Just as President Reagan's policy of peace through strength is panning out to be the very wisest course, you now advocate another scheme to unilaterally disarm America. When Ronald Reagan was sworn in as President of the United States, our nation's defenses were at a dramatic low. Over the years, and over your continuing objections, we have rebuilt a powerful national defense. What happened? The Soviets then came grudgingly up to the negotiating table, and the INF Treaty was signed. It was partly America's strong vow to support the fight for freedom worldwide that caused the Soviets to pull out of Afghanistan. The Soviets are sure to love your little gambit, Ted. Their strategic needs don't require any low-trajectory missiles, but ours do. They have already developed several new mobile missiles, and they are darn far ahead of us on that score. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off again tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. The opportunity to pilot a plane or engineer a train is not some right. It is a real privilege. We need to ensure the public safety by drug testing of the operators of these machines. Ted Kennedy and I will face off in a moment. Ted, on January 4, 1987, 16 people were killed and 170 badly injured when an errant Conrail train collided with an Amtrak passenger train. The engineer and the brakeman had done drugs just before that fatal accident. A January airline crash in Colorado killed 9 innocent people, and the pilot tested positive for cocaine. Because of heavy-handed union pressure, the Democrats in Congress are holding up good legislation that would provide for random drug and alcohol testing of airline pilots, railroad engineers, brakemen, truck drivers, and bus drivers. You should be embarrassed.
Al, that delay is as much your fault as anyone's. We need strong steps against drug abuse, especially in the transportation industry, where passengers' lives are at the daily mercy of any pilots, engineers, and controllers who may be high on drugs. The problem is that you and your right-wing cronies have glommed on to a cure for drug abuse that's worse than the disease. You're pushing for a nationwide, mandatory, massive random testing program that would trample the constitutional rights of millions of employees. And you haven't begun to figure out how a massive testing program can be carried out reliably. The problems of fly-by-night test procedures and false positive results won't go away. No one wants to stigmatize innocent workers and ruin their careers. We can deal with these issues responsibly, Al, but only if we keep Congress on the right track, not the far right track. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on whether the Senate will override President Reagan's veto of the trade bill. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. The Senate votes next week on one of President Reagan's most ideological and least justifiable vetoes, the plant closing bill. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, the ink was barely dry on President Reagan's plant closing veto last month when the House of Representatives overrode it. The Senate was tied up with the INF treaty, but next week we take up the plant closing veto. That veto's dead fish, Al, and it smells even worse today. President Reagan was sandbagged into the veto by right-wing business interests. Their position is as untenable as it is unpopular. They think workers have no rights, not even a right to notice before factories are closed. Jobs are lost, and they're dumped on the street. In a less ideological administration now, the president would have signed the bill. Workers deserve notice. Their livelihoods are at stake when factories close. Admit it, Al. This is an anti-worker veto, pure and simple, and it deserves to be overridden.
The Senate will hold strong on President Reagan's veto, Ted. That trade bill contains a whole gaggle of programs that have not one whit to do with trade. President Reagan said he was more than willing to sign an honest trade bill that breaks down foreign barriers against us. If your mandatory plant closing bill is so darn good, it should stand tall on its own merits rather than dragging down a vital trade bill. Let the Congress vote on that provision by itself, and we'll see how it fares. Even your apparent standard bearer, Dukakis, couldn't swallow one like that when he was governor. Did you check with him? Once the president's veto is upheld, the Democrats in Congress will then be the ones responsible for moving a good trade bill. My guess is that you'd scrap all the good just to make this an emotional election year issue. What's your pleasure, Ted? A good bill for America or some hoped-for partisan advantage? This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off again tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. The clock ticks on as to passing legislation to fund this federal government. Will Congress get the job done? Ted Kennedy and I will face off in a moment. Ted, during last January's State of the Union speech, President Reagan vowed he would never again sign a 14-pound continuing resolution. That was then, this is now. Congress has not passed a single one of the 13 appropriations bills we need to keep the government running. You and your fellow Democrats trumpet the fact that you hold majorities in both the House and the Senate. Why not get with it, then? The new fiscal year is fast upon us. Continuing resolutions are a real embarrassment to any legislator. It means we fail to do our duty. Last year's bill ran over $580 billion. It was full of special interest projects, legislative loopholes, and pork by the metric ton. As part of this Democratic leadership, when will you deliver these responsible spending bills, Ted? Or will you force President Reagan to use his veto pen to get the job done? America deserves better.
Al, you're right in principle, but it's a bit early to be cranking up your Chicken Little routine. The sky isn't falling on the appropriations bills yet. As a matter of fact, those 13 bills are coming along nicely, thank you. The House is moving faster than the Senate, but that's what the Constitution requires. Spending levels are set in the first instance by the House and adjusted by the Senate. No one wants to see a repeat performance of 1987 and the behemoth bill that almost broke the president's desk when it landed in the White House. It's unlikely, though, Al, that history will repeat itself. The budget summit last fall produced a bipartisan consensus on the most difficult and divisive issues, Pentagon spending and the level of taxes. The appropriations process is on track, and the bills are on schedule to reach the White House on time. We may need you later, Al, but for now, you can shelve your Chicken Little Act. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off again on Monday on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson has a lot of friends, but not among consumers. In a moment, we'll face off. Al, you talk a good consumer game, but you vote the other way. In fact, you rank near the bottom of the Senate. In the ratings for 1987, just published by the respected Consumer Federation of America, I scored 92%. But old anti-consumer Al turned up with a shocker of a score, only 33% out of a possible 100. I know, Al. You're going to challenge the messenger bringing the bad news. You don't like consumers, you don't like consumer groups, and you don't like the key votes they use to rate senators. But you can't square them out of 33%, Al. You voted against notice to workers before plants are closed, against limits on fat cat political contributions, against housing aid for middle-income housing, against helping low-income families pay their helium bills. Consumers have rights too, Al. You don't always have to kowtow to the special interests.
Come on, Ted. You and I know those legislative ratings are a dime a dozen. They're based on votes that are cleverly selected to make a group's friends look like saints and their opponents like slavering evil boobs. If you really want to demonstrate your passionate concern for consumers, why don't you help us scrap one of the most blatant anti-consumer bills you've ever co-sponsored this year, the textile bill? You say it helps the domestic textile and apparel industries by restricting imports of those items. But our domestic companies are right now experiencing higher production, profits, and employment. Passage of that bill would increase consumer costs $25 to $37 billion over 5 years, and that will only give a surge to inflation, and that is especially cruel to the poor. You're the guy that would make the cost of blouses and shoes go up at the Kmart, Ted. That puts just a tad of tarnish on your 93% rating, doesn't it, Ted? This is Senator Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off again Monday on the Mutual Broadcasting System.
This is Ted Kennedy. Yankee manager Billy Martin got a raw deal from the umpires. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, you don't have to be a Yankee fan to agree that Billy Martin was treated unfairly by the American League umpires. He was ejected from a game, fined, and suspended for 3 days for scooping up dirt and throwing it on an umpire. So far, so good. Martin deserved the punishment, and it was probably too lenient, especially compared to the harsh suspension Pete Rose got. But then the umpires piled on. They put Martin under dugout arrest. They said he'd get the heave-ho if he so much as stepped onto the field to challenge an umpire's call. Martin apologized, Al, and the umpires backed off too, but they blew it. They can punish Martin or any other manager who breaks the rules, but they can't lock him in the dugout. That's like the Senate trying to tell Jesse Helms he can't come out of the Republican cloakroom, Al.
Well, Ted, you finally found a ballpark where you can make the right call. Billy's return to the top Yankee job has been accompanied by his usual antics. And yes, Bobby Brown was surely correct in handing down his suspension and fine. However, justice for all isn't a ball and strikes call. The beauty of the game of baseball is its sameness and its rhythms, day in and day out. Episodes like this allow us some human insights about the people who make our national pastime. Like him or not, Ted, nobody who follows baseball can deny that Billy injects some pretty raw spirit into baseball's cherished routine. Billy was very wrong this time. That hurts the game. But so were the men in blue who tried to zip his lip, call it a tie. But, Ted, what does all of this mean? That you're going to lock Howard Metzenbaum up in the Democratic cloakroom, too? This is Senator Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on a Democratic health care gimmick. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. We'll be right back. This is Senator Al Simpson. The Democrats are up to their old tricks, creating those costly new entitlement programs. Ted Kennedy and I will face off after this. Ted, a bipartisan compromise produced some thoughtful catastrophic health legislation. I supported it. Now we must turn to the pressing issue of long-term care. But Democrats want to steamroll a long-term home care bill, a 5-year, $30 billion budget buster, without any review by the congressional committees with the appropriate jurisdiction. Long-term care needs to be given proper consideration by Congress, but the bill pushed by House Democrats didn't even address nursing home care. It was a shameful election year ploy to create false hope for the elderly. Rush job election year politics isn't a brand new way to bust the budget, but all too often it works. Fortunately, cooler heads prevailed this time, and the bill was tossed out by the House.
Shame on you, Al, and shame on the Republican Party. Your colleagues in the House ganged up on 30 million senior citizens. They mugged Claude Pepa. They voted down his landmark bill to expand Social Security and protect the elderly against the high cost of long-term care. No senior citizen should have the fear of chronic illness compounded by the crushing cost of long-term care. Families are literally praying for help, Al, and the Pepper bill is the answer to their prayers. You Republicans have never liked Social Security, Al. You're still fighting Franklin Roosevelt. You're forever trying to slash benefits. You're dead wrong on the Pepper bill, Al. It's no budget buster. It's self-financing. It pays for every dime of long-term care without adding one red cent to the federal deficit. Lay low for a while, Al, before a senior citizen mugs you for mugging Claude Pepa. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on the War on Drugs. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System.